Parshas Chayei Sarah. After the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Vayera, which deals with the Akedah, and Avraham Avinu arrives at what seems to be the climax, the grand finale, as it were, of his 10th Yoimah. Because Baruch Hu tells him, I see you are a Yirei Elohim, as we discussed last week. That story is followed by the episode in this week's parasha, the Kavura of Sarah, the burial of Sarah, the whole dealings that Avraham Avinu has with Ephraim and the Bnei Ches in order to purchase the Moros HaMachpelah, which by rights was his anyway. And Chazal clearly tell us that this was considered a nisoyin for Avraham Avinu. Why was it considered a nisoyin? Because he'd already been promised that Eretz Yisrael belongs to him by right. And if it belongs to him by right, then why on earth would he have to go and purchase Moros HaMachpelah in his hour of need? In fact, the Gemara tells us that Eoy, when speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, praises Avraham Avinu. And he says, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have no greater Eved. There was no greater Eved than Avraham Avinu. Even though you told him that Eretz Yisrael is his, nonetheless, when it came to the time to bury Sarah, he could not take Ma'arat HaMachpelah v'lo yihirheir achar midai secho. He did not query or complain the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with him. So this is clearly considered a difficult episode with which Avraham Avinu had to deal. So much so that when we learn in the Mishnah in Ovis that Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, Asara Nisyoinois Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. Most opinions, Rashi, the Rambam, and others, all consider the Akedah to be the 10th and final Nisoyin. However, Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the Akedah was in fact the 9th Nisoyin. It was not the final Nisoyin. The final Nisoyin was that of the burial of Sarah Imenu, which we find in our parasha. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah learns. As I mentioned, most opinions disagree, but this is the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. And the obvious question which we'd like to deal with tonight, the Mitzvah Hashem, is surely, following the Akedah, what could possibly remain? What was this test in the Kavura of Sarah? Undoubtedly, in his hour of need, amidst the difficulty of having to find a Kavura for Sarah Imenu, we can be assured that indeed it was a difficult parasha. But why is this considered, in the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the 10 Nisyonos? And even those who disagree, but they clearly praise Avraham Avinu for having passed this difficult test with flying colors. What exactly was the specific nekuda of the Nisoyon of the Akedah, or the Nisoyon of the Kavurat Sarah? And this can be explained in a number of different ways, and I'd like to perhaps suggest a few of them. I once heard, many years ago, when we say in davening, V'hoseir Soton, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remove the Soton milfoneinu u'me'achareinu, from in front of us and from behind. Now, I understand what that means, he's in front. What does that mean that he's behind us? Why does the Soton come behind us? What does that mean? So the explanation I once heard is as follows. You're about to perform a Dvar Mitzvah. You're about to daven, you're about to learn, you're about to give stokha. And the Soton, of course, comes and tries to dissuade you from doing so. That is the Soton, Lefoneinu, when you're about to do the mitzvah, it's in front of you. But on occasion, the mitzvah has already been performed, and you would have thought, well, that's it then. But on occasion, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, comes back and he plants seeds of doubt in your mind. Who says you did it the right way? Who says you should have done it at all? That's the Satan me'acharenu. He comes afterwards. After the event, he still does not let up. Perhaps you shouldn't have done it in the manner you did. Perhaps somebody else should have done it. Perhaps you did it in too an extreme fashion. Can you imagine Avraham Avinu is challenged, the epic historian of having to shecht his own son Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, and he passes the test with flying colors. And what happens as a result? The Satan addresses Sarah, tells her what happened, and she dies on the spot. Can you imagine? The Satan must have been rubbing his hands with glee. Wouldn't there be room now to start planting those seeds of doubt in Avraham Avinu's mind? One second. Maybe the Akedah was perhaps not the correct thing to do after all. Look at the tragic results. He lost his wife as a direct result of the Akedah. In which case, had he only done so, then he would have lost out on the whole Nisoyen of the Akedah if he would have regretted it. So I once heard that that's the Nisoyen of the Kabura of Sorrow. The Nisoyen of the Kabura of Sorrow is really the confirmation of the Nisoyen of the Akedah. That he was fully prepared to accept the Ratzon of Hashem, even though Sarah Imenu died as a direct result of the Akedah, but he had no regrets. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me this is what I must do, then indeed this is what I must do, and this is what I did. The consequences of which can never, ever cast any aspersions or doubts on whether I did the right thing or not. I carried out the Ratzon of Hashem. That was the challenge of the Nisayon of the Akedah. Of the Kabura Sorrow. There is a second approach, and this is a very important Yisoyed. As we ask, after the Nisayon of the Akedah, that terrific, mysterious Nefesh, what could possibly remain? What was there to test Avraham Avinu about? And an answer that also I saw many, many years ago is that sometimes a person is indeed able to muster up the koichos. The koichos are nefesh for the big nisayon. But for the small little nisayon, paradoxically, it's not always so easy to pass. When it comes, for example, to Yom Kippur, I don't think anybody finds the nisayon of having to fast till the end of a long day something that really challenges him. Undoubtedly it's difficult, there's no question about it. But somehow, all of us find the koyach to do that. The next day after Yom Kippur, when we have perhaps a juicy piece of Lashon Hara to tell, are we able then to battle that Nisayon? Somehow that seems perhaps not so easy. Even though I think we would all agree to not say a piece of Lashon Hara that takes 30 seconds or to fast for 25 hours, the Chayyar is harder to fast for 25 hours. But the big Nisayon, that great big high of Yom Kippur, on occasion is easier to deal with than perhaps the smaller Nisayon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends our way. And some indeed suggest that was precisely the Nisayon of the Kabura of Sorrow. Indeed, after having reached that terrific high of the Akedah, are you still able to pass even the lesser Nisyonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends your way as well? In fact, one's shleimus, one's gadlus, can sometimes be discerned from the ability to be involved with quote-unquote smaller things as well. You know, I once heard about one of the great Kedeli Yisrael, who was a cousin, of our family who was nifta a few years ago, Rav Avraham Genachovsky, they were tzaddik lebracha. A goyen adir b'chol ha'teira kula. I heard that somebody approached him and told him that he's aware of a young child, 6 or 7, who's just lost his father, Rachman al-Islam. And he's having a very difficult time. He's struggling in his cheder due to the difficult circumstances that he has to go through. And Rav Genachovsky invited this little boy to his home. And he sat on the floor with him and he played trains. The great Goyen Adi, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva Shabin in Yerushalayim, he sat with his 6-year-old boy on the floor and they played trains for an hour. And at the end, Avraham looked at his watch and he says to the little boy, you know, I'd love to carry on. If it'd be up to me, I'd carry on again. Maybe we can arrange another play date. We can sit on the floor and play trains. He says, unfortunately, I've got to go and say a shir now. But I'm not leaving you. And he gave this boy a question to think about. And he said, you can challenge your friends or your classmates. See if you can come up with the answer. And as the story finished, this is the way that Avraham forged a kesher with his child, and Baruch Hashem, his child was Oved Benisoyin. His child flourished. But that's the sign of godliness. To be able to say that even a great Rosh Hashiva in his 60s or 70s is able to sit on the floor with a young child and play with his toys. Because that was Rosh Hashem. Rather than saying, Tastnish, I go for the big stuff, not the small stuff. In the eyes of the Eved Hashem, there's no such thing as the big stuff and the small stuff. There's Rotzen Hashem and non-Rotzen Hashem. That was an historian of the Kavura of Sorrow. Were you able to deal with, as it were, a lesser situation in the same way as you were with the great epic historian of the Akedah? But perhaps there's another approach here as well. Those of you who are with us on Monday nights will remember that we mentioned not long ago in our Vadim on Chesed that Chazal teach us Gemara in Seita in Daf Yud Dalid Omid Aleph. The Gemara tells us that when it says in the Torah, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, you should follow the Ribbono Shel Olam. How so? Asks the Gemara. How can you get anywhere close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the Gemara says what it means is follow his midos. Look at the Torah, look at the Bria, and you will see a revelation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's midos. It's incumbent on you to emulate them. And we discussed then that the very first example that the Gemara mentions is the midah of Chesed. The Gemara says, look at the Torah, from beginning to end. The Torah begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed to Adam and Chava. He was Malbish Arumim. He clothed the unclothed. That's Chesed. And then in Parashas Vayera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visiting Avraham, Bikur Chayim. That's Chesed. After Avraham Avinu passes away, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Menachem Avelim. He comforts Yitzchok. That's Chesed. All the way through until the end of the Torah, when finally Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, and it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried him, the mitzvah of Kubura. And the Gemara concludes, there you see it, from beginning to end. The Torah is a sefer of Chesed, and it's therefore our duty to follow that, to emulate the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be a Baal Chesed as well. We learn from over here a tremendous yesod. The reason and the way that we go about performing chesed is not merely because I feel sorry for him. Rather, I'm performing chesed because I have a duty to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not merely that a poor man He's tugging at my heartstrings. I can't bear watching him wallow in his sorrow, so I'm going to help out, basically to ease my own conscience. I'm performing chesed because that is being God-like. And that's the mitzvah to be hoylech acharei Hashem Elokeichem. Not because it's my nature, not because I feel sorry for him, but because it's my duty to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, I once heard a number of years ago that if you look at the end of this week's parasha, after Rivka performs tremendous chasodim to Eliezer, do you remember the remez in Rashi? Where Rashi says that Eliezer gave her jewelry, but specifically, which jewelry? The Rashi says on the pasuk, Vayikacho ish, the man Eliezer took out, and Nezem Zohov, Bekam Mishkoloi, Ushnei Tzumidim Al Yodeho Asoro Zohov Mishkolon. Now, why does the Torah go into detail telling me the exact type of jewelry that he gave her? Why is that important? So Rashi says there's an important remez over here. Ushnei Tzumidim comes from the word Sombud, attached. And this is a remez to the Shnei Luchos, the two tablets, the Shnei Luchos Habris, which were attached to each other. And the fact that it weighed Asoro Zohov is a remez again to what was written on the Luchos, the Aseret HaDibros. I think the question hardly needs to be enunciated. What on earth is the remez over here to Rivka? We're over here looking for a wife for Yitzchok. The test is chesed. She passed with flying colors. And all of a sudden, Eliezer sees it appropriate to hint to her the union of the Torah and the Luchos Habris and the Aseret HaDibros. What on earth has that got to do with the project in hand? I once heard many years ago, the Talmud Chacham and Bnei Brak, a tremendous chat. What Eliezer wanted to see over here and was trying to relay to him, to Rivka, it's true you passed the chesed test with flying colors, but realize that if you marry Yitzchok and enter the bias of Avraham, then the source of chesed is not because I feel sorry for somebody. Everything, all of our midos come from the Torah and the Aseret HaDibros. Not just because you are a compassionate person by nature. That's not our definition of Midos Toves. Our definition of Midos Toves is because the Torah dictated as such. That's why I'm performing chesed. And that's the message that Eliezer was relaying to Rivka. Your chesed was indeed tremendous. Make sure that it's always attached to the Luchos Habris, the Aseret HaDibros, and the Torah. I read this week a story. The great Rav Shalom Shvadron, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on one occasion was taking his little boy to the doctor. And on the way to the doctor, he met the great Rav Isaac Sher. And Rav Isaac said to Rav Shalom, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to the doctor." "Why?" he asked him. Surprising question. He said, "Because my boy, my little boy is unwell, so I'm taking him to the doctor." So Rav Isaac said to Rav Shalom, "You know, an animal also looks after his young as well. And if an animal could take his young to the doctor, he would do so. But certainly if his child is unwell, he'll do everything he can to look after him. So what's the difference between you taking your child to the doctor and an animal looking after his child?" And Rav Isaac says, "I'll explain to you. When a yid takes his child to the doctor, he's not taking him because he feels sorry for his son. Rather, he's doing so because he's mekayim a mitzvah of chesed. It's true. There's no greater chesed than to one's own family. But again, this is yisoid. If it's just coming out of natural compassion for your own child, then Rabbi Isaac was telling Rav Shalom, then quite frankly, there's not much difference between you and any animal. But if it comes from a Torah source, it comes from the Aseret HaDibros, that's what Eliezer was hinting to Rivka, then that's a mitzvah of chesed. That is what elevates and differentiates us to animals. If that's the case, maybe it can be suggested that that was the test of the Kavura of Sorrow. Whereas the previous Nisyonos of Chesed, whether it be to the Orchim, etc., etc., that was one type of Chesed. But over here, where his own wife, his life's companion, had passed away, and you would think it's the most natural thing in the world to want to make sure that she is buried because of it. The test became for Avram, are you able to perform chesed because of the mitzvah called chesed? And that is emulating the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that comes from the Torah. That was the test. Not whether it emanates from a source of compassion and rachmanas, because as Rabbi Isaac Sher was teaching us, basically, an animal has a similar type of instinct, but that's nothing to do with the mitzvah of chesed. The nisayon of the kavura of sorrow was precisely having been put in a situation where his own human instinct would dictate that he should do chesed, was he able to do so nonetheless because the Torah dictated so, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam dictated so. And Avraham Avinu's mandate of the Amud HaChesed was to follow the midos of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Which means, it wasn't the difficulty of the situation that was the test. Rather, it was the nature in which he performed the Chesed. The reason that he performed the Chesed, that was the true test. Are you able to put your own human natural instinctions, natural feelings to the side? Are you able to banish those feelings and be involved in a project of chesed nonetheless? Because that is emulating the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe let me just share with you one final approach, a fourth and final approach in understanding what is the nisayon of the kavura of sorrow. And this is actually something we discussed last year. Avraham Avinu is the Amud HaChesed. What in fact defined, what was it that made unique Avraham's Chesed as opposed to all others before and after? Unlikely to assume that prior to Avraham Avinu, nobody was involved in chesed. So if you look in the Rambam gives us the answer. Because the Rambam writes the following. There is a mitzvah to perform bikur chayim. There is a mitzvah to bury the dead. There is a mitzvah to mourn, to comfort mourners. And then he says, there is a mitzvah L'lavois ha'orachim does not mean to wine and dine, to feed the orachim, but rather to accompany them. To accompany the orachim. And not only that, the Rambam writes in conclusion, Zachar halavoya, the reward for accompanying your guest is merubah min hakoyel, is greater than everything. And here comes the answer. The This is what Avraham Avinu established for us, the Derech HaChesed Shenohag Bo. This is the path of Chesed that Avraham Avinu forged. If you want to know what was unique about Avraham Avinu's Chesed, the answer is what was unique was the mitzvah of Levoya. The mitzvah of Levoya. And of course, the obvious question is, what indeed is so requested, so special about Levoya. I would have thought that surely, if you have a guest who comes to your house, more important is to give him to eat and to drink. Otherwise he'll leave starving and thirsty. Levoya is very nice, you accompany him out. Why is that the chiddush of Avraham Avinu? The chiddush of Avraham Avinu. As we know, the Torah writes, Vayita Eshel. What does Eshel stand for? Achila, Shpia, Levoya. If you want to hear a scary story, the story is told that in the times of the Vilna Goyim, there was a great gvir, a wealthy individual, who indeed was involved in tremendous chesed. Tremendous chesed. On one occasion, however, his home, in which he was machnis oireach, that's where he performed his achnasas orchim, his home burned down, disappeared. And they asked the Vilna Goyim, what happened? Why did his house burn? He's such a tremendous Baal Chesed. What did he do to deserve that? And the Vilna Goyim was megale, a frightening thing. He says this person indeed is involved in achnasas oirchim. He gives his guests to eat, and he gives his guests to drink, but he does not accompany them out. So when you have the word eshel, achima, shtia, and levoya, but you don't have the lamed, then what are you left with? You're left with esh. And if you're left with esh, that's what happened to him. Because he didn't have the lamed of levoya. So what indeed is so special and so important about levoya? Such that the Rambam writes, this was the unique feature. This is the derech that Avraham Avinu forged for us in the Midah of Chesed. And the answer is to be found in the writings of the Maharal. And this is a very important yisrael. Achila v'shtia may well emanate from a Midah, as we just said before, of Rachmanas. Nebuch, I feel sorry for him, he's starving hungry. He's thirsty, give the man something to eat. Give him a piece of bread, give him a glass of water. But once you've done that, there's no room anymore for Rachmanas. His problems have been solved. His needs have been taken care of. Levoya is something altogether different. Imagine if a great Gadol HaDor came to your home. Imagine if one day Reb Chaim Kanievsky knocks on your door and he says, would you have a glass of water please for me? It would be the greatest kavod you ever had in your life. You'd bring him in, you'd give him a glass of water, and you would not say to him at the end, here, you'll find the door, it's the end of the corridor. Please close the door quietly when you leave. You would be malaveh him. You would accompany him. Why? Because levoya is not problem solving. It's not taking care of his needs. Rather, it is the recognition of his significance. It is a hakara that we have something and somebody who is choshuv. Somebody who is choshuv, you don't just show him the door, you accompany him out. There's the Maharal. That is what Avraham Avinu was mechadosh to us in the mitzvah of levoya. What he was machadish to us in the mitzvah of levoya, that chesed is not problem fixing. Chesed is the recognition that I am dealing with somebody choshuv. Even if I happen to be three lowly avodah zarah, oyvei avodah zarah, look at the way he dealt with them. The way he spoke to them. Because he recognized that every human being is a tzelem Elohim. And if he's a tzelem Elohim, then by definition he's important. And if he's important, then you have to accompany him out the door. That was the chiddush of Avraham Avinu. It's true both before and after people performed chesed. But achila v'shtia is very different to levoya. Achila is taking care of somebody's problems. Levoya is the recognition that this person I have the privilege of trying to help is a tzelem Elohim, and I have to accord him the appropriate honor. And in fact, we just mentioned this, again, those who are with us on the Monday night vows. We know where this comes from. You remember the Medrash that we discussed. Avraham Avinu approaches the son of Noach, and he says to him, tell me, Shem ben Noach, how was it that you were zoicha to leave the table? Your entire generation died. What was your zechus? And what are the answer? One word answer, Soka. Soka asked Avraham Avinu. There were no poor people in the table. He says, we were involved in 24/7 soccer, looking after the entire animal kingdom. To which Avraham Avinu made a Kal V'Chaimer. What was his Kal V'Chaimer? He said, if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you, looking after mere animals, can you imagine if I would look after Bnei Adam, Shehein, B'Tzalmai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Allah has kama v'kama. My chesed will be altogether different. Oisai Sha'a, at that very moment, concludes the Medrash, Vayita Eishel, B'Be'er Shava, Achila Shtia Levoya. So there it is, Devarim Mufurashim in the Medrash. That Avraham Avinu, as he himself defined, what was unique about his chesed was the recognition that his guests were not projects of people who have problems. Rather, it's a project of a Tzelem Elokim. And you have to deal and relate with him appropriately. And that manifests itself in Levoya. By accompanying him out the door, you show him that you are recognizing that he's a Tzelem Elokim. And we can be rest assured that this spilled over also to the Achila and the Shia. Just look at the way that he approached and related to the three guests at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. As the Mefarshim point out, he shechted three cows to give each one a tongue. One tongue surely would have sufficed for all three guests, but he wanted to show them each one is important. Each one is a Tzelem Elokim. So that even the Achila and the Shia aspect of his chesed was coupled together with the Levoya, meaning this recognition that Chesed is all about treating a Tzelem Elokim with the appropriate honor. Let me tell you a most beautiful story. I heard this story from my Mashgiach in Geitzer, Rav Moshe Yosef Karnofsky, in explanation of his Rambam and the concept of Levoya. On one particular occasion, Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, the great Gadol Yisrael, was at home, and a member of his household came in to him and said, I was just by the front door, and I see walking down the street, it looks like in our direction, is the great Brisker Rav. Oh, the Brisker Rav is coming to visit. Rabbi Issa Zalman instructed his Bnei Bayit immediately, set the table in the front room, put on the Shabbos tablecloth, make sure we have all our best tachshitim, kelim on the table. And whilst he went into his room and he changed into his Shabbos clothes, Mr. Zalman Meltzer himself was one of the great Bnei Yisrael. But the Brisker Rav is coming to visit, I need to put on my Shabbos clothes. And there they were, the mishpacha of Mr. Zalman, awaiting the grand royal visit of the Brisker Rav, Shabbos tablecloth, Shabbos kelim, wearing Shabbos clothes. And Mr. Zalman says, just tell me when the Brisker Rav arrives. There's a knock at the door, and it turns out it's a case of mistaken identity. It wasn't the Brisker Rav at all. It was somebody who looked vaguely like the Brisker Rav, but it wasn't the Brisker Rav. They brought him in nonetheless. He had come to speak to Mr. Zalman. They went to Mr. Zalman while his guest was waiting in the other room, and they said, we're terribly sorry, we made a mistake. It wasn't the Brisker Rav after all. But Mr. Zalman, nonetheless, dusts down, wearing his best Shabbos clothes, and he goes and he greets his guest to deal with whatever he wanted to discuss with him. And after he left, the Mishpacha asked Mr. Zalman, I don't understand. We told you quite clearly that it's not the Brisker Rav after all. So why did you go and meet him nonetheless wearing Shabbos clothes? Why didn't you switch back into your weekday clothes? So Rabbi Zalman says a tremendous thing. He said essentially every single guest, can you imagine how many hundreds of people came by to speak to Rabbi Zalman, ask him halacha reitzah. And he said, essentially, every single person who comes in, I should always be putting on my Shabbos clothes for them and putting on the Shabbos tablecloth. Every guest is a Tzedem Elohim. He says, it's impractical. I can't do that 100 times a day. But here I was already in Shabbos clothes. What do you mean? What do you want me to do? Switch back to weekday clothes? Essentially, I should have put on Shabbos clothes for him as well. I can't always do so, but I had them on. No, what should I do? Take them off? That's the way a Gadol B'Yisrael views the mitzvah of Chesed. This isn't just a problem that needs to be solved. It's an opportunity to relate to a Tzelem Elokim the way that he truly deserves. And with that, we come back to the Kavura of Sar. I heard this in the name of the Mirror of Hashiva of Chaim Shmulevitz. Avraham Avinu, as we mentioned in the beginning, this land was his by rights anyway. There was no reason he should have paid 1 shekel for it, never mind 400. And look throughout the parasha at the way he deals and talks to Ephraim and the Bnei Chet, but there are kavod, the way he bows down to them. Why? Because this is the way that Avraham Avinu performs chesed. This is the way that he relates to every individual. It's true. They're stealing from me. They have no right to charge Baras HaMachpelah. But they are Tzelem Elokim nonetheless. And I have to relate to them accordingly. And even in his most dark hour, when his wife has just passed away and she's waiting to be buried, and any lesser person than Avraham Avinu surely would have grown impatient with the Bnei Ches and the Bnei and Ephraim, and eventually said, what's this all about? This is my land. Who do you think you are? Chutzpah, Ganovim, Rishayim. That's not the way Avraham Avinu relates to a Tzelem Elokim. That was the Kavura of Sarah. That was this particular Nisayim. Are you able to retain that composure? Are you able to relate to a Tzelem Elokim in the same way as you always have done, even in the most difficult of circumstances, in the most tragic of times, when his Eishes Chayil had passed away, you're still able to relate to the Bnei Ches and Ephraim as a Tzelem Elokim? That is the true Baal Chesed. That was the Nisoyen of the Kavura of Solomon. So just in summary, we ask, what indeed was this Nisoyen all about, especially following the epic Nisoyen of the Akedah? And we have suggested 4 answers. One is that there was no room for doubt. Even though Sarah had passed away as a result of the Akedah, he did not question the validity and whether it was the correct thing to do or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, then it was correct. No complaints. The second approach, that on occasion it's easier to muster up the koyach ruchni to pass the big test, but that needs to be followed on occasion by the lesser test. If you're still able to sit on the floor like a Gadol B'Yisrael playing trains with a 6-year-old, that ultimately is a true test of godliness. Thirdly, we said that the test was, is chesed because you feel compassionate and you feel sorry, or it's coming from the luchos, it's coming from the Torah? And the true test is, put Avraham Avinu in a situation where surely he's going to have all the rachmonos in the world. After all, it's his own wife. But nonetheless, chesed has to be performed because that's emulating the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. As Rav Isaac Sher taught us, otherwise we're not really much different to animals. And fourthly, and finally, the great legacy of Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of Levoya, which reflects his chidush in chesed, which is to relate to every individual as a Tzelem Elokim, was he able to conduct himself in that same composed, dignified manner, even in the most tragic and difficult of circumstances. And obviously, looking after the event, as we read the Torah, and as Chazal have told us, he was oimed in all Esther and Mitzionim, including, in the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, the final Mitzion of the Kavura of Sodom. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.